memoir, mm-hmm. potentially. Is there another project that you're that's coming up before that? That you're working on?
Yeah, I'm working on a novel already.
You are?
Would
you be willing to tip your hand a little bit about it?
No, I can. I can totally. I have, you know, I feel like it's dangerous to talk about it too much, but I have my, like, my
your
elevator pitch,
it.
My yeah. line. Yeah. The working title is The Great Believers, and I don't know if that's really going to end up on the book jacket or not, but it's a story that's set partly in Chicago in the 1980s against the backdrop of the AIDS crisis. And it's set partly in modern day Paris, where a woman who's a survivor of that scene where a lot of her friends died in the 80s is now going over to try to find her daughter, who she's estranged from, mm-hmm. But basically trying at the same time to make sense of the stuff that happened in the 80s. So I'm going back and forth between those two time periods. And there's also at the same time a lot of talk about Paris in the 20s and the art scene then. I'm having a lot of, this sounds like really weird to say about a book that's basically about AIDS. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think I have, despite what's going on in the book, I have some really joyful, fun characters, and that's been fun to work with.
Well, it was great having you on Between the Covers today, Rebecca.
Thank you.
We are talking today to Rebecca Mackay about her story collection, Music for Wartime. You've been listening to Between the Covers. I'm David Naiman, your host.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor, along with North Portland Community Building Group, Proper, of the We Can Do It Together community concert. Local politicians, community activists, faith groups, and artists will join in a day of unity, song, and prayer in Kenton Park on Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. This concert will feature a variety of local artists that will rally for unity in this time of unrest. Again, that's the We Can Do It Together community concert, Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Kenton Park at North Kilpatrick and Delaware in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, and welcome to August 2015 Black Book Talk. I am Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman, and I'm here with
Obie Hill, Let's Read, Walk, and Talk, and our guests,
Renee Mitchell.
We are so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you.
This I'm glad is to an be honor.
Here. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Patricia Hill Welch, the library lady, is off at a library conference, so she won't be joining us today unless she's near a phone and calls in to say hello. Renee, I am so glad you said yes, and Patricia was so happy when she called me last night saying, oh yeah, I talked to her, she's coming in. It'll be great.
I always love to be here at KBOO, and especially with these two wonderful hosts, and to share some poetry. I'm just so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well,
tell us now, what have you been up to lately?
Oh my goodness. Well, a number of things. I think the thing that people are hearing a lot about is Spit Right, which is a new initiative to celebrate youth voice. We are organizing the Youth Poet Laureate Project, which is the city's sponsored competition to find 12 poet ambassadors here in Portland to represent youth voice and also writing and literacy, celebrate literacy. And so we are in the process of narrowing the 35 who applied down to 12. And then we'll have a competition to name a youth poet laureate who is going to get a national book deal as a result of this competition. And we also are going to have the other 12 poet ambassadors who were the finalists continue to perform at public events in order to infuse youth voice into venues that were mostly adult only. A couple days ago, for example, we were at Kenton Park National Night Out with a project called So What You Gonna Do Crew, and we are in partnership with the Portland Public Parks to find out what it is that youth really want as far as programming, cultural offerings at the city parks and recreation centers. So we're doing that as well. And there's a couple of other things I'm involved in. I just don't want to talk so much. But we just got back, what I was talking to OB about, Darlene and I, who may be calling in, we just got back from the Urban Bushwomen Summer Leadership Institute. And it was a 10 days of artists from all over the country. There were two women who came from Zimbabwe. This is my second time going through this institute. But they have perfected this process of how to enter and build an exit community and use art to inform about social justice issues.
Where were you?
New Orleans. And it was a wonderful experience. Darlene was able to attend a second line. So basically that's where people, the processional that follows a funeral, and then there's a lot of dance. It's very traditional kind of engagement with community, and people dance behind it. They have certain dances and they carry umbrellas, and it's a celebration of life, of that person's life. So
sort of akin to a Mardi Gras?
Yes, except it's a very cultural, Mardi Gras is like for the whole city. This is a very culturally specific kind of opportunity to engage and celebrate somebody's life in what's called a second line.
Does Darlene play an instrument, or was she doing spoken word as she went down the line?
Oh, this is all dancing and moving and footwork and you know, engaging and laughter and tears. So it wasn't a real performance kind of thing. It was just kind of following this processional of the funeral, and just being there to say we honor this person's life. It's like no other kind of an experience. Hopefully when she calls in, she'll be able to talk a little bit more about that and speak from like personal experience. But it was an amazing conference. And so Darlene and I and Noelle Wiggins, actually, who lives here in Portland, and Cameron Witten was there. And so all of us are basically social activists in our own way. And we organized this thing called Mama Meals while we were there at the conference, because they have a number of young people who were there. And 10 days is a long time to feed yourself and have to buy food. So the Portland contingent, I'm proud to say, organized this Mama Meals. So we were able to have home-cooked meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for any of the folks who came and needed something to eat. And it was we felt like we were representing Portland, doing something very productive, as well as very appreciated by the folks who were there. So that opened up the door to try to help bring more people to Portland for the coming years.
So you stayed in a place that allowed you to cook?
We stayed in Tulane University, and we stayed in the dorms, which is an arrangement that the Urban Bushwomen has with the university. And so they had communal kitchens on each floor. So we just took over the fourth floor and had just a gathering at every meal, and folks came. And, you know, culturally, we like to sit down around food. That's how we build community. That's how we share information. And so that was the place where we were able to really get to know each, you know, the participants, and get to know what they like to do and their name, and where they're from. And so it was all around food. And for me, that was just a gathering around the kitchen table kind of feeling. So it was a wonderful experience.
So now the conference, this is how many years have they been having?
Doing this for about 15 years. Yeah, even before the storm, they were asked to come in because they have a certain expertise around this process that they do, because they're all dancers. And so they teach people how to move within their body, how to be present in their body through dance, but also doing something called asset mapping, which artists tend to do when they do community-based work is finding out what are the talents that each person in the community brings to that effort, because it's honoring the lived experience that's just as valuable as the educated person's experience, and bringing that all together. So people acknowledge themselves as dancers, as singers, as poets, as artists, and whatever they could bring, we all brought that to the table to produce this performance that the public was then invited to. So it gets everyone out of their comfort zones, but it teaches them to kind of work together to try to raise awareness about a particular theme. This year it was Black Lives Matter. And we were able to talk a little bit about the new Jim Crow, the book, and the effort that needs to be made about the prison industrial complex and raising awareness about that, as well as raising awareness about racism and how do we deal with it? How do we each individually take some type of role in fighting that? So it was very educational, but we used the things that we learned, the knowledge that we learned, in the artwork.
Wow, sounds very powerful.
And Darlene can probably talk a little bit more about that. Welcome. Darlene Black Butterfly.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. My flight got in at about 1 a.m. this morning. Well, so if I sound a little gruff, it's because I've been kind of...
You're still waking up.
Yes, ma'am. And I have to get to work when I leave here, so life just keeps going.
Well, we're so glad you included us in today's schedule.
Nice to be here.
We were just talking about Second Line, and wondering if you would explain a little bit more about it to us.
Awesomeness.
Awesomeness.
Just awesomeness. The thing about New Orleans is everything is so rich in culture and tradition. So to see everybody like come together and celebrate and energize each other and just embrace each other was just a beautiful thing. New Orleans was just an amazing experience from the time I got there until I left.
So I was telling them that the Second Line is really the processional behind the main funeral procession.
Yes.
And how people in the community kind of join in. Yes. So Emma was asking me whether you were doing spoken word there. And I was saying it was more of a...
It's more of a body movement. It's more of... So basically, when you're going down the street in the procession, people are literally like coming out of their doors and joining you. And so it's a neighborhood, community, communing celebration where the family is in the front. They're grieving, but the community is behind them, supporting them in that grief. And somewhere in between that, some magic happens. It is just like you hear, you feel, you hear, you've all the energy just like elevate up. And the music is playing and, you know, people are crying. But then at the same time, you see that relief come over them that they don't have to endure the kind of things that would bring you down here. And so then after that, we went straight through the procession into the festival, which is the Louis Armstrong Festival. And that was a whole nother experience. And there's the ladies with the red ladies with the hats and the dresses, and everything is just big. It's bigger. It's larger than life. It's brightly colored. It's... Yeah, I can't wait to go back.
And take some more Portland folks with us.
Oh, yes. It's an experience that everybody should definitely experience. I went to New Orleans before, but I did kind of like the Bourbon Street thing. This was the complete opposite of that. I hung out with the local people. My last night there I spent on the porch. And that's an experience in itself. Just hanging out on the porch and talking to people as they come by. Everybody knows everybody. People are checking on each other. Hey, are you all right? You know, it was just a beautiful sense of community. It sounded like and felt like the perfect place for me.
How did they affiliate Satchmo with this movement?
So he actually has like a institute in New Orleans. There's like... it's called the Satchmo something. I meant to bring that with me. But basically, it's like all of his horns and all of his pictures. And I Matter of fact, if you go on my Facebook page, you will see some of those pictures. Because I took a lot of the pictures of the instruments. And what is that page?
Could you announce it?
Yes. It's Darlene Solomon Rogers, D-A-R-L-E-N-E, Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N, hyphen Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. Or you can go to my Black Butterfly page, which is B-L-A-C-Q-U-E-B-U-T-T-E-R-F-L-Y. So you can, and you can see those pictures there.
And we also went to Louis Armstrong Park, and where Congo Square is located. And we're really able to just spiritually kind of understand the historical context of Congo Square, where that was the place where Black folks who were enslaved Africans were only allowed to congregate, and only on Sundays. So there was music there, and there was singing, and there was dancing and drumming.
And celebration.
And celebration of culture in that place. And they say that that's where our music was really created. And they have these gorgeous statues that are there, and these huge trees. And it was just
that
a
I had
very
to
spiritual
hug.
Experience.
It was just, I spent a lot of time just like embracing those trees, because they endured all of that and are still here. So they know something.
And an honoring of ancestors.
Exactly. Yes.
The trees have survived a lot.
Yeah.
I have here in my hand a book called If Only Black Folks Could Read by S. Renee Mitchell. And you have a number of other books you brought along with me. Now, do you self-publish these books?
I do. I self-publish, actually, all of my books. I have a children's book. I have a novel. I have several poetry books. What we have here in the studio are what's called poetic snacks. So that's an individual poem that that I've put into a very handy thing you could slip into your purse and to share with others. And so it's a way to take what I've put into books, and as well as some of my current new poetry, and be able to share it with people almost immediately. So I just feel like there's opportunity for all artists to just celebrate their art without having to wait for someone else to endorse it like another publisher. So there's so much opportunity. And Obi, I've learned a lot from you when you've had the bookstore about just like making sure that it's all out there on the landscape for people to participate in and really help maybe inspire them to put their words out there. I think that that's the whole intention, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to share some of the poetry with you, with our listeners.
Well, I have a question about, all your books are always so little and cute. Can you talk about the idea, the thought behind that?
Well, these particular ones are what I call poetic snacks, because they're just easy, simple things to just absorb and appreciate. And so the idea is just to celebrate art. I have a poem called Art Saved My Life, and it really is the reason why I left the Oregonian, where I had worked for 10 years, and how I really needed to rediscover who I was and also reinvent who I was as a full-time artist. And I felt like that was really what helped me understand myself and take me on this creative journey that I'm hoping other people will find for themselves. And so, you know, I had to learn that I wasn't just my job. I did my job, but I wasn't the job, you know, and how I had to separate myself from that by becoming an artist and helping people understand all of that was within me, and then birth that into paintings and spoken word and programs like Spitwrite, which I had mentioned before. All of these things are bubbling up, and allowed myself to give myself permission to do these things, like illustrate my children's book. I had never illustrated before. And so we forget sometimes as adults what we love as children and how creative that we are, and how we don't ask for permission when we're children to do the things that we just kind of love to do and experiment and that kind of thing. And so art is really about an opportunity to experiment and understand, okay, what is it that I really love to do? And just try that without self-editing and self-criticizing myself before I actually do it. You know, just saying, okay, what's inside me and how do I bring that out? And so that's really what all of these poetic snacks and the paintings that I do and the jewelry that I make. It's all about how can I discover what's inside of me and bring it out and gift it to the world.
You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO. Now, my ears are chopping at the bits just to hear a little bit out of any book you want to choose.
Well, sure. We are, Darlene and I had done something for the Black Baccalaureate program, which is a celebration of Black graduates. And we're going to ask your help because in some of our pieces, we like to engage the audience. It's a traditional call and response kind of situation. So this is in celebration of all of our Black youth. So it starts out with, we're going to say, have you say love?
Love.
Love.
Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Community.
Community.
Love.
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 Love. Love, where it begins, the only language that speaks pure truth.
Celebrate.
That's why we're here today, so we can praise you.
Community.
We're all part of the village that provides you love. It's all about love. It's all about love. We are in awe of all the things that you have done so far.
Celebrate.
Success because we know how much you worked hard.
Community.
Take time to verbalize the phrase,
I'm proud of you.
Love. Let's show our girls some love. Let's show the boys deserve some love. So what's next? You may not have the answers that you seek.
Celebrate.
Dig deep because the world lays trouble at your feet.
Community.
We'll be there when you make mistakes and then repeat.
Love.
You are our sons.
Love.
You are our daughters. Love. There's no real value in material things that we possess. So
celebrate.
The things you're meant to do before your body rests.
It's community.
We'll be there when life puts you through heartbreaking tests. Love. When you're looking for
love,
when you're hoping for
love,
consume the wound of any slight or
even
any
racial slur.
Celebrate the tough times because they teach us that we're conquerors.
Community
has shown us when we work together, we are stronger with love. We will overcome.
Love
gives us wisdom.
Love.
When it can't be seen, when it can't be heard, just know it's still there.
Celebrate
the fact that God never gives us more than we can bear.
Community
will keep you grounded when we say our daily prayers because love. That's how we show
love.
That's how Black folks express
love.
So remember to listen to the music flowing in your heart.
Celebrate
the uniqueness of the way your rhythm fits and starts.
Community
might not always appreciate the patterns of your flow charts, but love makes self-doubt cease.
Love,
the key to inner peace. Love, what you do to make your living and your cash flow.
Celebrate
community. Your passion because it gives your skin that inner glow.
Community
is ripe with plenty role models you can follow. So love them, they will love you back. Love to increase black on black.
Love
your skin, your hair, your nose, your lips, the things that show us black.
Celebrate
the spirit of our ancestors from way back.
Community
is the harmony that hooks the rhythm to your soundtracks.
Love
is in your genes. Love is on your cornbread.
Love.
The world will say you're born to struggle, that you're not enough.
Celebrate.
You're young, gifted, and black, and then when times seem tough, your
community's
belief in you weaves through your life like cornrows.
Love.
It's all about
love.
It's all about love.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's a tribute to all of our black youth out there. Much love.
Tell us why the Bush women, the urban Bush women, tell us about a little bit more about them.
Well, there were a number of folks from Portland who have been, there was three that we know of who had been before.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Cruz, who was a quilter here in town, an artist, had gone when it was based in Brooklyn, when they were just kind of starting it, and she had been twice, and she kept saying, you need to go to this Urban Bush Women Summer Leader Institute. And so after a couple of years of her saying that, I applied and was able to get a scholarship to go. And I think that was in 2011, 2012. And the theme was deepening our roots. And so I had an amazing experience, and I came back, and I was joining Adrian and saying, you guys need to go, you guys need to go, you guys need to go. And so Chisao Hata ended up going last year. And then I ended up going this year with some other Portlanders. And so we are all part of this project called Heart Space, where we're talking about the issue of belonging and how gentrification affects our sense of belonging and community, and how that in turn affects our mental health, affects our ability to, you know, find folks who look like us, who talk like us, who eat, you know, that kind of thing, and how that, how much of a emotional burden that can be to not be able to belong. And so this, what we're doing as a result of coming from that experience, we're going to create sort of a miniature version of what we learned in New Orleans and be able to provide like an opportunity, a performance that deals with the issue of belonging, and how we're going to take asset mapping that we mentioned before, and the folks who are from Portland who have a particular skill, we're going to pull them all together and create a performance to be able to engage the community conversation around belonging. And so that is called Heart Space.
Is it every year?
This is something that is a grant project that we've gotten from the Regional Arts and Culture Council. So who knows?
Exactly. The universe holds
the answer to that, because, you know, what we did with I was talking about the mama meals and how that just kind of bubbled up and emerged out of nothing, just out of the need, just following our intuition and our heart. And so now that's going to be a consistent part of the urban bushwoman experience in New Orleans every year. So this is going to bubble up out of Portland, and who knows? This may be an annual thing every year. Later this year in November, there will be two people from the Summer Leadership Institute from New Orleans who will be here in town for a conference. We're going to hold some kind of a workshop so more people in Portland can learn about this process. And so we're hoping that people begin to use this in their art, begin to use this in their social justice work. And it's a celebration of community, community-based art. And I think that that's the most beautiful type of art ever.
It'll happen.
Could urban bushwoman ever happen in Portland as an institute?
We're talking about that, actually. The dance team has come here a number of times because of Whitebird, the dance presentation company, and have been so inspiring. The years ago, they did a piece on natural hair, and that inspired my natural hair piece project that I did, the Natural and Proud People Inspiration Project, with the acronym NAPI Project, to celebrate natural hair. And out of that came some art that still exists in this community about, you know, how we talk to people and form this poem called My Hair is Kinky. It's just a celebration of Black hair. So these are the things that we think are going to invest in this community, the art, and, you know, add to the art and culture, and create our own renaissance here in Portland. So absolutely, that's part of our intention, is to have eventually a summer institute here. And so we're having a conversation with the folks at Urban Bushwomen to provide that kind of experience, because it is a very unique opportunity that we'd love to see here in Portland.
Now, would part of this be, or do you already have a building that that you can house this in?
We don't. We're always looking. And I think it's interesting that you had mentioned that, because one of the other things I'm involved in is we've gotten a National Endowment for the Arts grant. We are working, Laura Laforte and I are working, part of the team working with PSU, Portland State University Architecture Department, where we've gotten this grant to start a conversation with the African-American community around what kind of cultural center would you want to have here in Portland. And so it's just the beginning of the process of creating something similar to Albina Arts Center, or the things that we're here, where folks can find access to culture, to arts, to community in an actual center. So we are also applying for the step two of that, but we're starting the conversation. Probably we're working on it now. We got the grant recently. It's going to be a year-long process to create what we call this portable porch. And that's what what the PSU architecture department is going to work on. This porch where we could take it in different parts of the community. Mm-hmm. And the porch has a historical kind of context. You know, it comes from Africa, where the enslaved Africans were expected to build their own housing. So they mimicked what they had built in Africa, which is a small place with a porch in the front, because that was a way when you stepped out of your house that you engaged in community. That was the road was right there. And so the porch has a very historical context, as you experienced, mm-hmm. Darlene, in New Orleans, about how we engage with each other. And so we're going to take this portable porch and use it as far as how do we engage with the public on what they want as far as a community center. And then after that project is over, we'll make that available to community organizations to use this porch and to continue on with this aspect of how do we talk to each other in the age of technology that's supposed to be connecting us more when it's actually disengaging us more, and how do we continue to really have authentic person-to-person conversations.
So are you asking for community involvement?
Oh, that's all part. That's exactly
most
what we're
definitely.
That's exactly what this project is all about, is engaging the African American community around what kind of, if you had to envision a place where your culture is celebrated and honored and put first, what would that look like? What kind of community or artistic programming would you like? Who would you like? That kind of thing.
How do they get in touch with you?
They can go on my website, www.ReneeMitchellSpeaks.com, ReneeMitchellSpeaks.com. And they can also reach me similarly on my email, ReneeMitchellSpeaks@yahoo.com, and be able to engage with the process that way. But they'll be hearing more about it.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for
You're
being
welcome.
Here today. This is Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, saying see you in the month of September. Thank you.
It's time for the KBOO News at noon for Thursday, August 6th. For KBOO News, I'm Kristen Yount. On Wednesday, the Securities and Exchange Commission voted to require private companies to tell the world how much their CEOs make compared to the median total income of their employees. This information was required under the 2010 Frank Dodd Act, but a loophole made it possible for companies to skew the numbers by omitting a percentage of offshore employees, for instance, factory workers that make much less than their U.S. counterparts. The new Suez Canal's unveiling happened today in Egypt. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi spoke to an excited crowd as the first vessel went through the canal. The $9 billion endeavor included 37 kilometers of digging on land to make another traffic lane. It is to cut wait times almost in half. Attendants include